Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that one thing we do share all in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 525th edition of SDG. And by the way, folks, that stands for Sola Dea Gloria, all to God. And it's titled, this message is titled, Crisis Update Number 38. And later in this message, after hearing all the forbidden news that the lying hacks of the establishment will never tell you and me, we'll tie it all into the father of lies himself, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer. You know, the Bible tells us in John 8:44 that these liars that we experience here in the world, they're from the children of their father. They're children of their father, the devil. And they love to do the evil that he spoke. Now, Jesus tells us in that verse that he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it's consistent with his character. For he's a liar and the father of lies. So stay tuned, folks, as we unmask Satan's four lies about God and pull away from the eyes of so many, and that's my prayer, folks, this veil of darkness that he's blinded the world with. And bottom line, folks, and never forget this, as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And that's what it is, folks. This is a war. And please, folks, never forget that. And be tuned in. Please, please stay tuned in to find out the latest news that the mainstream media is never going to tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding literally in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as always, folks, as always, let's review something from last week's episode. So the root of all this evil that we see around us today literally is money. Folks, do you realize that economic warfare is being waged upon you and me right now? This $3.5 trillion spending bill comes with strings. No, not strings, but chains intended to bind us all. First, with the vaccine mandates. Did you know they're talking about all this infrastructure stuff and all this wonderful things that are going on into the spending? But the federal government, in collusion, in conspiracy with the global international bankers, are literally printing money out of nowhere and then pinning it to us in terms of a debt obligation, and then sending this money to the states with strings attached. And those strings are that, yes, you can spend it. You can spend it on the state level, the local level, municipal level. You can even buy businesses like ISP providers, other businesses, and compete against small business. But when you do, anyone and anyone involved with any of those dollars must follow the illegal, unconstitutional vaccine mandate for this experimental mRNA jab that the Biden administration is pushing fervently. Folks, yes, there are strings attached. So they're buying up businesses. They're spending our money. And I'm telling you, folks, everything isn't okay. There's no secret military group that's going to come and save us. There are no white hats working behind the scenes. The U.S. military, unless you've been living under a rock, has been compromised for a long time. Even more so now that the good guys are getting kicked out under the imposter-in-chief, Biden himself, with these mandates. These shipping vessels off the coasts of both Eastern and Western seaboards that are floating there waiting to be unloaded. That's an attack. That's a blockade, but it's an internal blockade. The administrations of these blue states are not allowing those ships to be unloaded because of their crazy COVID regulations. If one person gets sick, you know, they've got to stop the whole team and they've got to quarantine and all this. Did you hear what DeSantis said? Bring those ships down to Florida. We'll get them unloaded. And I think the same thing could happen in Texas with all their Gulf Coast ports. Then our schools, folks, they're under attack. And now parents speaking out against some of these draconian education systems with critical race theory and outcome-based education and all this other garbage. The parents are being called terrorists. Yet what happened last summer? We had mostly peaceful riots as Antifa and BLM forces across the country burned cities to the ground. And isn't it coincidental that those were economic development zones that were bought up by the billionaires, the uber rich, and they're all around Federal Reserve centers? Yes, the root of all evil, folks, is money. And then don't even get me started on our police forces and the border being overrun with these degenerate enemy combatants. And then we've got the vax, we've got lockstep, we've got lockdowns, bioweapons, fuel shortages now, grocery stores empty. I mean, what's trending on Twitter right now? Empty shelves, Joe. I could go on and on and on about all this, folks. But do you know how the mainstream media's portraying all this? Do you know what's the message we're getting from the mainstream media? Well, let me play you a clip. That's it, folks. That's what we hear. That's all we hear. You know, China has an embargo against Australian coal. Now there's rolling blackouts in China. So what did they do? They upped their purchases from the U.S. as our coal mines were decimated under the Obama administration. And our coal plants, our coal-fired electric plants are just being shut down left and right. You know, there's talk now in major journals concerning the energy sector of rolling blackouts through the United States this winter.
What?
Yes, Paul, I could go on and on, but if someone's going to save us, if some white hat's going to ride in on his white horse and Trump's going to save the day, I'm telling you, folks, in my humble opinion, it would have happened by now. Folks, do you know it's very possible that by now, over a million have already been killed by this weaponized spike protein in hospital treatments, in this jab program, and in all of the other garbage they're doing. They are literally killing people right now. So what we all need to do, we all need to stand up and speak out, peacefully revolt against all of this madness, these mandates. And then, and I'm saying this as a believer, we also need to be willing to defend ourselves with force when the time comes. So you need to have a line drawn in the sand, folks. You need to know what that line is. And you need to be stalked. You need to be prepped. By now, you should be, because it may already be too late. Now, I'm hearing that by Christmas, there may be no heating fuel, propane, you know, the diesel version of the home heating oil. And I'm hearing that gasoline may not be available. And some are saying it could cost as much as $1,500 a month to heat your home. Natural gas prices are skyrocketing. And get this, folks, none of this is organic. The only reason these kabuki theater moments are even happening is been carefully and fully planned, and they are intentional. They're the intentional takedown of the last barrier between these globalists and their plan for a new world Luciferian lion order. It's we the people and our Constitution. Folks, the first step in this problem is realizing that we have a problem to begin with. And I'm telling you, it's a serious one. And as I see it, folks, it may be too late. Now, at the core of all this is our paper money system. And what we've been doing over the past 5 weeks is playing clips out of Stephen Kisman's classic, Wake Up America. And this will be our sixth episode. And I just want to pick this up where we left off last week. And I hope you start to see how this money system is being used to push all this. Here's Stephen Jacobson, Wake Up America, and I'm calling this Part 6.
Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh Sr., father of the famed aviator, told Congress after the vote,
"When the president signs this act, the invisible government by the money power will be legalized."
And so it was. President Woodrow Wilson signed the act into law, turning over the money system of this nation to a group of private bankers and allowing them to create money simply by making bookkeeping entries, loan it at interest, and take title to real property as collateral. As a result, the citizens of the United States lost control over their money system and their government. The Federal Reserve System is modeled after the Bank of England. Though it consists of 12 regional banks, it functions as the nation's central bank. It is where banks go to borrow money and is appropriately called the banker's bank. The Federal Reserve System is a private corporation owned by foreign and domestic banks and operated for profit. The Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Bank of Italy, the Reichsbank of Germany were all founded as privately owned banks and not as government institutions as their names imply. Remember, the essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. The international banking establishment operates on the principles of fractional reserve banking that originated with the goldsmith long ago. It is based on the dishonest practice of issuing receipts for more gold than is held on deposit. On page 4 of Modern Money Mechanics, published by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, it says,
"At one time, bankers were merely middlemen. They made a profit by accepting gold and coins brought to them for safekeeping and lending them to borrowers. But they soon found that the receipts they issued to depositors were being used as a means of payment. These receipts were acceptable as money since whoever held them could go to the banker and exchange them for metallic money. Then bankers discovered that they could make loans merely by giving borrowers their promises to pay, banknotes. In this way, banks began to create money. More notes could be issued than the gold and coin on hand because only a portion of the notes outstanding would be presented for payment at any one time. Enough metallic money had to be kept on hand, of course, to redeem whatever volume of notes was presented for payment."
And when they did not keep enough gold and silver coin on hand to redeem all notes presented for payment, their fraud was exposed and short bankers were hung from tall trees. Under fractional reserve banking, banks create money whenever they grant a loan. It is the act of borrowing that causes it to come into existence. Banks lend money that did not exist until they loaned it. It is a true feat of magic. Banks create money by monetizing debt, the debts of government, business, and the public. Banks literally create money out of less than nothing because a debt is a sum of money due. It is not possible to pay a debt with a debt. And yet, this is what America and the world is using as money. Federal Reserve notes are evidence of debt the U.S. government owes to the owners of the Federal Reserve, the payment of which is guaranteed by the collateral of all property and income of all U.S. citizens. How the U.S. government borrows money from the Federal Reserve is not much different from the Abbott and Costello comedy sketch in their movie Buck Privates, where Bud Abbott wants to borrow $50 from Lou Costello. Listen to their routine and compare it with the explanation of how the Federal Reserve works its magic that follows.
Do me a favor, loan me $50. Schmitty, I can't lend you
$50. Oh, yes, you can.
No, I can't. All I got is $40, that's all.
All right, give me the $40 and you owe me $10.
Okay, I owe you $10.
That's right.
How come I owe you $10?
Well, what did I ask you for?
$50.
And how much did you give me?
$40.
So you owe me
$10. That's right. But you owe me $40.
Now, don't change the subject.
I'm not changing the subject. You're trying to change my finances. Come on now, give me my $40.
All right, there's your $40.
Okay.
Now give me the $10 you owe me.
I'm paying you on account.
On account?
On account. I don't know how I owe it to you.
That's the way you feel about it? It's the last time I'll ever ask you for the loan of $50.
Wait a minute, Smitty. How can I loan you $50 now? All I have is $30.
Well, give me the $30 and you owe me $20.
Okay, this is getting worse all the time. First I owe him $10, now I owe him $20.
Well, why do you run yourself into debt?
I'm not running in, you're pushing me.
Listen, I can't help it if you can't handle your finances. I do all right with my money.
Hey, you're doing all right with mine, too.
Now, wait a minute. I asked you for the loan of $50, you gave me $30. So you owe me $20. 20 and 30 is 50.
No.
The U.S. government borrows money from the Federal Reserve using the same kind of logic and manipulation of words and numbers as the Abbott and Costello comedy routine.
And that's exactly how they do it, folks. And the end game to all of this is the dollar collapse, but only after they have all their control measures in place, every one for the Great Reset. Speaking of waking up, folks, several weeks ago I shared a story with you of one of our listeners and a friend of mine named Alex, who stood up against this COVIDian cult tyranny. Now, he's the Votech teacher, the welder in Iowa, who did it respectfully, but he respectfully said no to the crazy and unscientific mask mandates that came back to the Des Moines public schools. And he's made an impact. And now his impact has been heard by many. This was on the local news in Iowa this week. I forget if it was an ABC or a CBS affiliate, but listen to this 1 minute and 48 second clip where they report on Alex's encounter with these COVIDian cultists. And I say all glory to God, as does Alex.
A Des Moines teacher is out of a job after the district says he refused to comply with the mask mandate. The district has made it clear any employee that refuses to wear a mask could face disciplinary action. Other employees have also been sent home, but this is the first teacher to lose his job for not wearing a mask. WAJ 13's Zach Fisher talked with school leaders about the firing. He joins us now. Zach.
Aaron, thank you. Des Moines Public Schools recently terminated a teacher's contract at the October 5th school board meeting after he refused to cooperate with the district-wide mask policy. Now, the district says that 10 employees have been sent home over the last month for not complying with that mask mandate. That includes the one teacher who was let go. The school district spokesperson says that the mask mandate has gone smoothly for the most part, with only a few exceptions.
Didn't expect to see many, and you know, the facts show that we haven't seen many, and I've only had one instance where we had to take, you know, the most serious discipline measure by letting go a member of our staff.
Alex Peterson is the teacher's name who was fired from the central campus of the district. In a statement in response to the school district, he says, quote, "Above all things, I trust in God who sustains me and my family. I'm secure in my decision to stand against this mask mandate and any other mandate in opposition of freedom no one but the students lost," end quote. Now, according to the Iowa State Education Association, they're not aware of any other teacher in the state of Iowa being terminated for not following a mask mandate policy.
During the break, you were telling me, Zach, that you actually caught up with the teacher, Peterson.
You just left his place about a half an hour ago, so a really good conversation, and looking forward to more to come from it.
Okay, thanks, Zach. President.
Folks, all I can say All I can say is congratulations, brother. Thank you for standing up in the crowd as a voice of one and speaking truth in love and saying no to this ungodly tyranny. Think about what that school administrator said when he was interviewed. The most serious disciplinary measure. Remember, folks, this isn't something bad that Alex did. No, it's not. So here's to Alex. Thank you, Alex, and may God bless you and your family. Folks, think about this. The legislature in Iowa ruled against the unscientific mask mandates, and they legally and lawfully placed a law onto the books in Iowa that mask mandates were illegal. And then an activist judge comes along and turns around this legal and lawful legal and lawful law by the legislature of Iowa, and he rules against the law, the legal and lawful law, in the great state of Iowa, and then one righteous man named Alex stands up and says no, and the school administrator says the most serious disciplinary measure was only brought against one individual. Alex, dear brother, take heart. You're not alone, just like Elijah wasn't alone when he felt alone as he was being hunted by the king's wife Jezebel. Remember, out of 1 Kings 19:10, he said, I, even I only, am left. But that wasn't true. God had many others out there. And there are many others with you, brother, and all you others standing out there. Folks, did you hear about this? Did you hear about old man Cruz? He was the construction worker. Now, I'm going to give a profanity warning here. If you have some small children listening, please cover their ears or take them out of the room or pause it right here. But I'd like you to hear this one-minute clip of this construction worker doing what Alex did, maybe not as gracefully, but nonetheless standing up and saying no. Listen to old man Cruz.
I don't know what the fuck happened today. That yellow-bellied son of a bitch safety man came in here and told us we all had to get the fucking vaccine or we were all going to be fired. You know what we all did? We all grabbed our shit and started heading to the fucking gate and told them, kiss our fucking ass. You can have this job. You can take it and shove it. And you know what? Before we got to the gate, they came and told us, never mind, you ain't got to get it. That's right. You stand together. They can't take your dignity, your job, your pride. Don't be no yellow-bellied son of a bitch. Stand up against this hair tyranny. All around the U.S., motherfuckers are standing up against this tyranny, standing up for their rights and their fucking freedoms, just like we did. And you can do the same. Fuck them yellow-bellied son of a bitch.
Now, I apologize for profanity, folks, but you got to understand that this man has grit. This man helped build this nation as a construction worker, and he's had it. He's as mad as hell, and he's not taking it anymore. Some of the comments on that video, and I think it was on Brighteon, but it might have been Rumble. Listen to some of these. Don't let them divide us for any reason. Together we win. This man is America in the flesh. I'd be proud to welcome him into my home and call him my friend. God bless him and keep him. Here's another one. That's right. One for all and all for one. Everybody needs to do the same. Kids playing sports in school, even if I just had one kid who's asked to be vaxxed, if we all stand up and walk out together, that school will beg you to come back. One for all and all for one, especially these college sports teams like football. That's a big moneymaker for these schools. Student players, athlete players, you know, say no. Look at what's happening to people all around you. And never let them have you resign. Refuse to resign. Be the model employee and make them fire you. Then join in a class action lawsuit. And they're forming all across the country, folks. They are. Folks, you remember the clip we played a while back, the Bugs Life Revolution? It's a 3 minute and 45 second clip. Listen to A Bug's Life.
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we
you forget about him?
Yeah, it was just one ass.
Ooh, one ass.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
You piece of dirt.
No, I'm wrong. You're lower than dirt. You're an ant. Let this be a lesson to all you ants. Ideas are very dangerous things. You are mindless, soil-shoving losers. Put on this earth to serve us.
You're wrong, Hopper. Ants are not meant to serve grasshoppers. I've seen these ants do great things. And year after year, they somehow manage to pick food for themselves and you. So who is the weaker species? Ants don't serve grasshoppers. It's you who need us. We're a lot stronger than you say we are. And you know it, don't you?
Well, Princess.
Hopper, I hate to interrupt, but...
You ants, stay back!
This was such a bad idea.
You see, Hopper, nature has a certain order. The ants pick the food, the ants keep the food, and the grasshoppers leave. I'm so proud of you, Flick!
Yeah!
Where are you going? That's just ants!
Yes, folks, we the people do hold the power. And never forget that. Never, ever forget that. We the people hold the power, especially skilled people like Alex. You know, Alex is out there now making more money working as a private contractor than he did as a public servant. He was doing that to try to pass it on, to try to help students learn a skill. So the students are the ones who hurt, just like he said. But, folks, we have to move. Now it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's begin with the coronavirus heist.
Just say they know all their lies and minds in control.
That's it, folks. I've been saying that for over a year and a half. Just say no. We the people do have the power, and please do not forget that. But do it peacefully. If you need a little lesson on that, go read some of the writings of Gandhi. This is peaceful resistance, peaceful noncompliance. Folks, they want us to fire the first shot, but under no circumstances do you do that, because then it justifies their next move. So over the past several weeks, we've been talking about the NBA players. We've been speaking out respectfully, and I believe very articulately for athletes, about why they're not taking this mRNA jab. And then this, just NBA player, former Atlanta Hawks Brandon Goodwin, found out that he had blood clots within a span of a month after surrendering to this COVID jab under coercion from the league. And listen to Brandon Goodwin talking about this horrible experience he's had. This is on a podcast or some sort of Skype conference he was doing. So he's looking at questions or comments that are coming up on the screen, and he's responding to them. So some of the conversation's a little disjointed, but I think you'll get the message. Here's Brandon Goodwood, former NBA star for the Atlanta Hawks. And by the way, I heard that the New York Knicks just signed Brandon. But this guy has lost millions of dollars by complying to an unlawful request.
I got sick, and I never, like, recovered from it. Like, I would always have back pain. You know, I was just super tired in the games. Like, when we played Philly back-to-back, bro, I was so tired. Like, I felt like I couldn't run up and down the court. And then my back was hurting. Then we went home, I think. That's when I started, like, my back really started hurting bad. Like, and then I'm like, all right, I got to go to the doctor. And that's when I found out I had blood clots. Like, that all happened in a span of a month. I was fine up until then. Up until I took the vaccine, I was fine. So people trying to tell you, like, no, it's not the vaccine. No, like, how do you know? You don't know. Yes, the vaccine ended my season, 1,000%. And then the Hawks, nothing against the Hawks. They just called me the next day while I was in the hospital and told me, like, we're going to tell the press that, you know, your season's over with. I'm like, damn, how? Like, we don't even know what it is. But it's whatever. I'm not even going to get into all that, bro. I still got love for the Hawks. Mad love for the Hawks. And I just know if I would have played, it would have been way different. We needed somebody to get in the paint, make some plays. I don't know where I'm playing at this year. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I don't know. And they just like, don't say anything about it. Don't tell nobody. I'm like, bro, what? I mean, I was supposed to be taking blood thinners because I had blood clots. I had two blood clots. I was supposed to be taking something called blood thinners. And while you take blood thinners, you can't play. You can't play basketball. You can't play 5-on-5 contact. So during the whole time I was sitting out with the Hawks, I was fine. Like, I was playing 3-on-3, dunking the ball, everything. I was normal. I got back to normal after I had that little episode. I went to the hospital. I was cool. I was fine. And so I kept asking him, like, can I play? Can I play? Can I play? I was telling him, like, I'm good. I could play. They kept saying I couldn't play. So I'm like, all right, whatever, bro. So I missed that opportunity to play in the playoffs. I was fine. Nobody cared, seemed to care at all. They're just like, all right, you're not playing. So it's whatever. My doctor told me not to play basketball in the summer. But I'm like, but I wasn't supposed to be playing in the summer, but I was playing anyways. So my agent just kept saying, like, you know, I just got to work around this whole blood clot situation with teams. I'm like, that's over with. But I'll be back. I'll be on somebody's team, bro, soon. I don't really know. who yet. But, yeah, this shit been kind of crazy. No, not Boston, for sure. I don't know what happened with that. I had Golden State earlier in the year. I said no to Golden State.
Well, that's enough. I think you got the point. So God bless you, Brandon. And like I said, he was picked up by the New York Knicks. So God bless you, and I hope everything's okay for you. But, folks, this is what's happening. This is what's happening with these illegal, unlawful jabs. And nobody seems to care, but we've got to keep moving. Right now it's time for a Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Call Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means solve. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slant or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Folks, none of this is by accident. It is not the accidental view of history like everybody wants you to believe. Things just don't happen and people just don't respond to it. These are planned, carefully planned by the Trilateral Commission, the Council of 300, you know, the Committee of Rome, the Bilderbergers, all these different foundations, Operation Lockstep, Event 201, these are planned events, folks. And like I've been saying for a while, more and more of the lines between the scamdemic and Kabuki Theater, all this other craziness that's going around, lines are becoming blurred. So here's another lie and a blurring from the fake news. Everybody's heard about the flight delays, and maybe it's even impacted you from Southwest. And this is the way the mainstream media is spinning it. This is a 1 minute and 36-second clip from mainstream media reporting on this issue with the hundreds of Southwestern airline flights canceled, especially in South Florida. Now, just listen to this clip, and it's full of lies.
Southwest Airlines dealing with delays from coast to coast, leaving thousands of travelers suddenly stranded. The airline blaming a number of issues for the slowdowns.
But they say it all stems from Florida. Local 10's Joseph Ojo joins us live from Miami International Airport to explain it all. Joseph.
And this is a nationwide issue that is sure causing a lot of frustrations. We can tell you that the airlines is blaming air traffic control issues as well as disruptive weather, saying that that is the reason for many delayed and canceled flights. Now, let's take you to a statement from the Southwest Airlines that reads in part, "We experienced weather challenges in our Florida airports at the beginning of the weekend, challenges that were compounded by unexpected air traffic control issues in the same region, triggering delays and prompting significant cancellations for us. Now, we're working diligently to accommodate our customers as quickly as possible. We apologize and we again thank everyone for patience as we work first to be safe and second to be as quick as possible in solving disrupted plans." Now we can tell you that after doing a check of the boards here at Miami International Airport, travelers flying to places like Baltimore, Milwaukee, Denver, Houston, Dallas all had their flights canceled, and there were more than 1,000 flights that were canceled today. This after about 800 were canceled nationwide yesterday. Now the airline also tweeting out that affected travelers should explore self-service rebooking options. Now, we did reach out to Southwest Airlines to find out more and to get a better explanation about what might be actually causing these cancellations and delays. We're still waiting to hear back. Live at Miami International Airport, I'm Joseph Ojo, Local 10.
So there you have it, folks, a chocolate-covered lie, all packaged and pretty for you on the glitzy mainstream media lie machine. Joseph explained it all. Weather challenges and air traffic control issues. Well, he didn't tell you that those air traffic control issues were the fact that the entire air traffic control team, I believe it was in Tampa, walked off. And why did they walk off the job? Because of vaccine mandates. And Joseph also didn't tell you that all the other flights from all the other airlines out of Florida got off without a hitch. And the reason the Southwest is because of what Alex Berenson reported over at alexberenson.substack.com. A Southwest airline pilot explained, Alex, what you won't hear on the Lion News or from his union because of contract issues. And why Southwest more impacted by this? But this pilot emailed Alex and proved who he was by showing his ID. And he said, Alex, please pass this on. Get people to know this. Eventually, the union can't organize or even acknowledge a sick out because doing so would be an illegal job action. So the union is walking lockstep with the company. And really what it is are these talented, many of them veterans, U.S. veterans who are now working as Southwest Airline pilots. And by the way, folks, former Air Force pilots make the best commercial pilots around because they're trained well. And these men and women are saying no more. They're standing up and saying, we're not doing it. In fact, this one here, this vet, made this, I think it was a TikTok video. Listen to this 2-minute and 30-second clip from this veteran pilot speaking out against these vaccine mandates. He has a powerful message here.
I've been an airline pilot for 18 years, and now I'm facing an ultimatum. Not a choice, but an ultimatum. I'm being told in order to continue my career as an airline pilot, I must be vaccinated, which really means I have to choose between putting food on the table for my family and my freedom of choice. Whether you believe in vaccination is the right thing to do or not, the situation goes far beyond health. We, the American people, have fought for freedom for 257 years. We go around the world spreading ideas of freedom and democracy. We help other countries and people fight for their freedoms while ours are being stripped away. You may think being forced to wear a mask or get a vaccination is insignificant, but when you begin to compile mandate after mandate and loss of freedom after freedom, it becomes very significant. As each thing is taken away, we face what is known as the shifting baseline syndrome. This syndrome changes our idea of a new and acceptable normal. Soon, we will not remember what it was like to have the freedoms we once did. Our children and our grandchildren will experience less freedom, and they won't have the privilege or the pleasure to enjoy the same choices our parents had or that we have. If we give in to these mandates and we do not stand up for our freedom of choice, we dishonor every armed service person over the last 257 years. A disservice to the people who have fought and bled for the very freedoms we enjoy. Whether you believe in vaccination or not, I'm standing up for your freedom of choice. You may support the vaccine mandates because they fall in line with your current beliefs. But if we let this happen now, there will be a day when what you're told to do will not fall in line with your beliefs. If we do not stand together and fight back in one voice, soon we could be told where to live, what job we will do, what religion to believe, and how many children we can have. Do you really want someone telling your children or your grandchildren what, when, and how they will live every minute of their lives? It's time we take a stance. It's time we fight for our freedom of choice while we still can. Join us. Visit usfreedomflyers.org. Help support our mission to protect and preserve our freedoms.
He spoke truth, folks. And this shifting baseline syndrome that this patriot, this U.S. veteran, this freedom-loving American talked about, this shifting baseline syndrome is what we've covered here at the Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution, or thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Now, this whole issue that's unfolding with Southwest, the pilot that was talking with Alex Berenson said that he loves Southwest and he finds this crisis, but he feels that this is the only way Americans can stand up against these mandates and let the chips fall where they may. So the power is in the hands of the Southwest airline professionals. They can bring that company down. And then here's a little ditty that's out. Gary Kelly, he's the CEO of Southwest, and he's on the lying media, the fake news, saying things like, well, you know, I didn't want to have to do this, but I have to comply with what President Biden ordered. Now, the reason he's saying that is, you know, the airline took over $25 billion in loans. Now, the original set of loans and bailout money under the Trump administration was to help companies through the crisis, quote unquote. And this money had no strings. But the new money that's going to be coming out through this $3.5 trillion spending bill that they're struggling through right now in Congress, this comes with strings, and that's what I mentioned before. And I think CEO Gary Kelly's walking or marching lockstep. And did you know that Mr. Kelly's involved with the World Economic Forum? In fact, there's a website, a webpage out there, webforum.org/authors Gary Kelly. And he wrote an article for the World Economic Forum. And get this, listen to the irony, folks. Why leadership is only ever about people. And he starts and he says, leaders must care. Leadership is about people. Great leadership is about inspiring people. You're doing a good job at that, Gary. Serving people. Yeah, you're not doing any of that. Caring for people and caring about people. You have to tell them you care. Well, Gary, your actions speak louder than these false, hollow, empty words. And then 4 points he made. Leaders must communicate. Leaders must have character. Leaders must be competent. And finally, leaders must have courage. Well, where's your courage, Mr. Kelly? This is wrong. In fact, there's not even an executive order out there. And you're saying you have to abide by the rules that Biden's setting down? That's not showing courage. It's not. Oh, and then did you hear what the U.S. Army flight surgeon, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, wrote in a sworn affidavit? She recommends the grounding of all vaccinated pilots. I'm going to quote her. Today I received word of one fatality and two ICU cases at Fort Hood. The deceased was an Army pilot who could have been flying at this time. All three pulmonary embolisms happened within 48 hours of their vaccination. I cannot attribute this result to anything other than the COVID-19 vaccines. As the source of these events, each person was in top physical condition before the inoculation, and each suffered the event within 2 days post-vax. That's coming from a U.S. Army flight surgeon. And you know, commercial airline pilots are now dying on the flight deck. There was an emergency landing recently, and the co-pilot had to land. The pilot died, folks, after the vaccination. And then start looking at all the small airplane crashes across the country right now. There's a lot more than normal. And I suggest they're all vaccidents. And oh, speaking of accidents, look at all the vaccidents happening on the highways. Coincidence? I don't think so, folks. And then get this. There's more. This spending bill that's coming through right now looks so nice. But like I've been saying, the strings are there. And the administration, and let's call them what they are, they're trying to use money to wrest control from we the people. And folks, I'm telling you, we have to stand up. And I'm seeing something. And what I wanted to share with you is what I saw while I was driving up to the local plaza to pick up groceries on Thursday. The car in front of me had painted on their back window, freedom over communism. Just stand up and say no. And they had a beautiful American flag painted on their back window. It was an SUV. Honk if you support freedom. So up at the next light, I gave a nice gentle honk and put my thumbs up outside the window. And I could see the guy in the front of me thumbs up me through his rear view. Folks, we need to stand up and say no. We need to do it peacefully and respectfully. But we need to remember that the power resides in we, the people. But now, folks, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. There you are, Henrietta. You've been waiting. You were queued up today. Oh, that's because it's raining outside, huh? Stay on your paper. Folks, what we're going to talk about today is winterizing the vegetable garden. Now, this is a very important activity if you're going to rely on your garden for more and more of your food staples as we move forward through this crazy time we're living in, and it's a very important activity that you do in the fall. And what it does is it ensures the success of your garden next year. So if you put a few hours in this fall, like I did yesterday, and do these three simple, easy steps, it's going to make a difference in next year's success. It really will. So here's how you winterize your garden in three easy steps. First of all, you want to remove all plant debris. So your vegetable plants that are seasonal, do not rototill that back in. Do not till that back into your soil. Remove them. Plus, try to pull all the weeds you can. And some of them that are perennials, get down in there with a pitchfork or a manure fork and turn over those roots. Get them out of there. Now, here's the reason. You want to destroy all of this material because, of course, the weeds carry seeds. And you're not going to get them all, but it's a statistics game. And then your vegetable plants can harbor disease and pests. A lot of the pests plant their eggs on the stalks of these plants. So what you want to do is get that all out of the garden. Burn it if you can. If not, get it as far away from your garden as you can and throw it away. The second thing you want to do is add compost. And that brings fertility and life to your garden. And you want to do it in the fall so you have time for this to actually fully mix and decompose in your garden. So what I did is I clean out the chicken coop every fall. Never clean the chicken coop out in the spring and put it on your garden. If you do that in the spring, what you want to do is compost it and don't put it on until the fall because the chicken manure is just too hot. There's too much nitrogen in it, and it'll destroy your plants. Now, a little side note. On your chicken coops, a lot of people want to put a wood floor in. I do not recommend that. I recommend a dirt floor, then cover it with leaves or grass clippings. And then about once or twice a year, you clean the coop out. And what you do is you just let the chicken scratch through that. The soil is a natural decomposing medium with all the bacteria in that. And what happens is you start to break down a lot of the chicken manure in the floor of the coop. And if you have to, put a little bit more mulch down on top of it. And once or twice a year, clean the coop out. So this material, or horse manure, cow manure, whatever you use, it adds fertility to the soil, and you want to lime it, and you want to do a soil test. And then when you're all done, you want to either cover it with mulch, so some additional clippings, or better yet, what's called a green manure. So you want to take winter wheat or annual rye, and after you've rototilled in all of the lime and manure and everything else, you want to broadcast these seeds and then lightly rake it in. And what will happen is you'll have a green cover in the spring. And what you do is you mow that down and rototill it in, and you've got a rich nitrogen base for next year. Now, what this all does is it allows the soil to grow and develop. You know, soil's living. And if your soil is not living, then your plants aren't live very well. So these three easy steps improve your soil. And it's incredible how well they do. Makes your soil very crumbly and easy to work. You're going to see an abundance of earthworms. And the garden's going to produce much more produce than it would if you didn't. And you're going to eliminate a lot of the bad bugs and weed seeds. And you're going to see less disease. Now, it takes some work each fall, but I'm telling you, the results are really going to be noticed. And with what we're facing, we all should have gardens in right now. Call it a victory garden like they used to. But, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for the Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
So I put this next story in the Hopium Report because, you know, hope springs eternal. And this clip off of Tucker Carlson, where he shreds Press Secretary Psaki, the liar-in-chief Biden, and the Southwest Air CEO over their vaccine mandate lies. Now, on Monday night, what Tucker Carlson did is he told his audience that the thousands of flight cancellations of Southwest Air all over this past weekend were due to this pilot shortage, which was an unofficial walkout. So he's basically sharing now on a major network what I told you. So maybe there's hope, and that's why I put it here. But let's listen to Tucker as he calls out, basically confirms everything that I just shared with you. This is a long clip, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, but it's worth listening to.
We spend a lot of time on the show talking about ideology, what people believe. But in the end, the measure of a government is not its ideas, it's the effects of its policies on you. Can you walk around the mall without getting mugged? Can you send your kids to school with the hope that they will be educated? Can you run your air conditioning in the summer without worrying there's going to be a brownout because the electrical grid has been so degraded by bad policies? Those are the things. Can you take a Southwest Airlines flight to go see your family? When those things start to become impossible, you know you've got bad government. Well, over the weekend, a lot of American air travelers found out things are falling apart. Southwest Airlines canceled probably half their flights this weekend. Now, why did that happen? Well, we told you last night the truth about why it happened. We know the truth because we've spoken to people who are directly involved in it. Pilots at Southwest Airlines are facing a vaccine mandate. They will be fired right before Christmas if they don't submit to medicine they don't want to take. A lot of them have already recovered from COVID. They don't need the vaccine. But the Biden administration is forcing them anyway. And so this weekend, a lot of them didn't show up for work. That used to be called civil disobedience. But that's what's actually happening. That happened this weekend. There's no doubt about it. And the fact that virtually everyone in charge is lying about it tells you a lot. It tells you, on the one hand, they don't want to own up to the results of their policies, their reckless, crazy policies, which are an effect of power grab and not public health. But it also tells you they're very worried. Because when ordinary people realize they have power too, especially people with skills, people who do things most people can't do, like fly airplanes or run air traffic control centers, when they realize simply by not doing those things, they can be heard, maybe the government has less power than they think they do. So for the past 24 hours, you've seen the usual liar stand up and shout us down. Oh, no, that's not what happened. It was weather that somehow only affected Southwest Airlines. You heard the CEO of Southwest Airlines go on television and tell that lie. His name is Gary Kelly. He's under an awful lot of pressure. So maybe he had to lie, but he definitely lied. He went on TV today and said, oh, no, it had nothing to do with Biden's vaccine mandates. Watch.
I've seen a lot of people invested in this idea that this is somehow related to vaccine mandates.
There's just no evidence of that. You know, as I said, and as Captain Murray said, our people are working very hard. They're doing a great job. I'm very proud of them. And especially when we get into a difficult situation like this, they're also delayed. They're also ending up in places that they didn't expect. So, no, our people are doing a phenomenal job.
Well, your people are doing a phenomenal job standing up for what they believe in the face of tyranny. But to say there's no evidence this was the result, a direct reaction to Joe Biden's vaccine mandates, is a lie. And you know it's a lie if you know anything about the company you run, and doubtless he does. Later in the same interview, Gary Kelly of Southwest made it clear that Biden's mandate is the only reason he's forcing his employees to get the shot or be fired.
And the vaccine mandate obviously is controversial, and it's not anything that I wish for our company. This is a government mandate. It's a presidential order. And we're doing our best to comply with that.
Oh, it's a government mandate. That would be the same government that is ignoring its own laws, that is ignoring federal immigration law and allowing the rest of the world into our country unchecked. That's a violation of the law. The Biden administration is abetting illegal behavior. So for the CEO of a company to say, we must follow the law, as directed by an administration that is violating the law on a mass scale, is a little much, and everyone knows it. Lying, lying, lying. Well, the governor of Texas, to his great credit, Greg Abbott, just banned vaccine mandates in his state. Southwest is headquartered in Texas. And yet Southwest and now American Airlines and IBM have announced they will defy Greg Abbott's ban. Oh, they're more afraid of Joe Biden than they are of Greg Abbott. Let's hope that changes. Over at the White House, by the way, Joe Biden's top flack was doing what she does every day, lying, lying, lying. Hear more lies about what happened at Southwest.
I know there was a little hubbub over the course of the last few days about Southwest Airlines. We now know that some of those claims were absolutely false, and actually the issues were completely unrelated to vaccine mandates.
Oh, you lie. They were not completely unrelated to vaccine mandates. Talk to the people who called in sick. They were a direct result of the vaccine mandates. You did this, Joe Biden, White House. You are wrecking our interstate travel system. And over Christmas, you're going to make it impossible for people to travel. You did that. And at some point, it's going to be very obvious to the whole country. So, of course, Southwest is not the only institution that's been burdened with these mandates. So has the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. The sheriff in L.A. County, Alex Villanueva, says he will not enforce the mandate.
I'll cut it off there. So Tucker said it all with that one line that he repeated several times. Lying, lying, lying. And then did you hear the liar, Psaki herself, saying a little hubbub over Southwest Airlines? Folks, there were so many people impacted by this. People missed their children's weddings. People had all kinds of missed connections where they couldn't get together with loved ones for very important reasons. And, you know, it's all part of the lie. And we're going to cover more of this about the great lie in the Absurdian Report and at the end there. So please stay tuned. But right now, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises, the show begins.
Another lie. Did you hear about the push by the neo-Marxists to rename Columbus Day? And I think it's all summed up here by this clip I'm going to play for you next by the Trump impersonator who was pushing for us all to celebrate Pocahontas Day because they want to make Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, listen to this 36-second satire by this Trump impersonator.
I want to wish everybody a happy Columbus Day, or as they're starting to call it, the Indigenous Peoples Day, okay? Indigenous peoples, especially to Pocahontas, America's favorite fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas is her name. I want to wish her a happy Indigenous Peoples Day. I know this day means a lot to her. She's the only person in the history of mankind to fail a DNA test. When you think about it, she failed a DNA test, and nobody thought that was possible. 1/1024th. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, Pocahontas. We love you.
Now, this attack on Columbus Day, all humor aside for a minute, comes from the neo-Marxist social justice movement that's being promoted by the Democrats now. And their goal, and let's stop calling them Democrats. Let's call them what they are, communists. And their goal is to uproot and overthrow the history and heritage of the United States of America. And their behavior is following what you can learn from history. Take Year Zero, for example. Now, this plan, known as Year Zero, was implemented during the Khmer Rouge reign of Cambodia. And they basically destroyed all the history of that nation, Cambodia. And let's not forget about the purge of the Chinese Cultural Revolution that was known as the Four Olds. And these Four Olds were old ideas, old culture, old habits, and old customs. They all had to be done away with. Now, those who truly understand Western civilization and Western history realize that Columbus Day celebrates an advance in terms of human development as the New World was discovered. And this led to the advancement of Western culture and civilization. And if you dig a little deeper into this, you're going to realize that when this all started to happen at the turn of the 17th century, there was all sorts of things that were in motion at that point. So now Columbus had established a beachhead for over 100 years at this point. And at this point, the turn of the 17th century, Australia was discovered by Dutch explorer Wilhelm Janszoon And this is a celebration of Western civilization, and in particular, the colonization of America. And why is this so important? Well, it led to modern medicine, modern education, science, and the growth of the new world, so to speak. Now, there's good and bad there, because we're moving towards the new world order as they try to destroy the U.S. But what it did is it laid the foundation for a revolutionary movement of advancement. And it all happened because of this nation, the United States of America, and the assertion that our founders made that our rights come from God and not government. Now, many of the inventions we enjoy today happened because of this environment, liberty and justice for all that enabled the innovation and the human spirit to grow. And most of the innovations that this world enjoys today came right here from the United States of America, from the internet to radio and television to the assembly line and mass production of automobiles, you know, that was basically perfected by Henry Ford. And let's not forget about power, AC and DC, the great Tesla-Edison debate. This list can go on and on, folks. So these advancements in human history were brought about by the ethnic Europeans and their descendants, that's you and me, folks, who built this great nation. So our European-American heritage is something that we shouldn't have to stop and apologize about. We shouldn't apologize about our history. We should actually celebrate it. And when we talk about quote-unquote Native Americans, we really ought to be very careful, because in truth, there's nothing native about these people. These Asian tribes, these East Asian tribes, crossed the land bridge between Siberia and Alaska. There was an area there called Beringia, and they settled up there in the Alaskan area for several generations. Then they started to move through northwestern Canada, settling as they took over the rest of North America. Now, they probably slaughtered or enslaved a lot of the indigenous people that were there at the time. And a lot of what I'm telling you now, folks, is speculation from me reading history and kind of how it all came together. But there were these groups of people known as the Olmecs and the Toltecs, and they were probably the precursors to the Aztecs, as these people were driven further south by these invading Beringian settlers. Now, like I said, this is all supposition. You're not going to read about this in a history book, but just look at the physical characteristics of quote-unquote Native Americans and compare it to the East Asian Mongolians, and you'll see that there's some basis for what I'm proposing here. So since most people in America today are ignorant of all this history, this nonsense about changing the name of Columbus Day is actually, oh, okay. But whites are being pillaged, folks, and they're being murdered across the Mediterranean when all of this was happening back in the Columbus. People don't remember that. Eastern Europe, the Balkans, these non-white Muslims and these Mongols and these Turks had their reign of terror, but we don't talk about that. So if you're oblivious to all of this and you have no comeback when people attack our white culture and what we've achieved, you're going to be defenseless. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, folks, the theme today is lies, and, of course, the father of lies is none other than Satan himself. And what I want to do now is continue with Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, those of you who have known me for any length of time, you know that I'm a big advocate of what I call critical thinking. In fact, we recently did an entire podcast focused on the topic of critical thinking. For example, let's try another little exercise in critical thinking. Look at the UN map of the world. I mean, really take a good look at it. And then take a look at some of the other official maps of things as diverse as the US Navy to NATO and some of these others. what do you find in common? Well, they're all drawn up with what's known as the flat earth map. Now, any critical thinker's got to wonder why they did that. Now, little things like this slip through the cracks of the matrix all the time. And here's another example. If you go to the Wikipedia, and you have to use the Wayback Machine on this, and you just search the circumference of the earth, you'll find that it was measured, or it used to be measured and reported on Wikipedia, at over 30,000 miles. I'm sorry. If you go to Wikipedia or you go anywhere else, you're going to see that the circumference of the earth measured pole to pole, so from the South Pole to the North Pole and back to the South Pole, has a circumference of just under 25,000 miles. And then this is what Wikipedia changed, and this is where you're going to need the Wayback Machine. There's this highway that runs from the southern tip of South America all the way down there at the furthest reaches of Argentina, all the way up to the northernmost part of Alaska. That highway is over 30,000 miles long. And it's known as the Pan-American Highway, the longest road in the world. Now, if you look at that on Wikipedia, you're going to see that they've cut that length from 30,000 miles to 19,000 miles. But I've saved a copy of Wikipedia before they changed it. But you can still see it out on websites like brilliantmaps.com. Now, I took a globe map, I took a piece of string, and I kind of followed along the outline of the western coast of South America, all along the western coast of Central America, along the western coast of the U.S. and Canada, all the way up to Alaska. And I took that string and stretched it out. And, of course, it's longer than that distance on the globe. But you still couldn't touch the North Pole to the South Pole after finding all that winding path. So now, critically think for a moment, folks. If that highway is 30,000 miles long, how could the circumference of the earth only be 25,000 miles? Now, when I talk about this, okay, people start to look at me funny. And don't even get me started on curvature and line of sight, navigation records and flight paths, and some of the navigation logs from the early explorers, from the Spanish all the way up to Admiral Byrd and his exploration of Antarctica. Don't even get me started on that. And my bottom line, folks, is that I don't think we've been told the truth on many things, including the cosmology that's around us and some of the actual properties of this great place we live called Earth. And when I share these things, and these are anomalies, little ripples in the matrix. I'm accused of being a flat earther, even by Terry, my wife. She misunderstands. So what I ended up doing now is I just keep my mouth shut. Folks, I am not a flat earther, but I do question what I see or don't see. And things just don't simply add up. Just shut my mouth and smile. Now, what was in the news this week? The space flight of Captain Kirk. You know what? LMAO. Laughing my ass off. You know, we're told that the moon is 250,000 miles away. And I've talked about this on the show before. But let's make that a 10-inch vertical line on a piece of paper. And then we're told that the space shuttle orbits at 250 miles above the surface of the Earth. So if you try to express that on that 10-inch line, that's about a line as long as the thickness of a human hair, or about 15 microns. Now, that's three orders of magnitude less in distance or length than what the Apollo mission would have traveled to get to the moon. On that vertical line that we represented as 10 inches on a piece of paper, think about that. Captain Kirk going into space literally ascended less than the thickest human hair on this line that the Apollo astronauts had to ascend to get to the moon. So I'm told to believe that since the Apollo missions, man hasn't gone any higher. Well, here's the truth, folks. Either man hasn't been to the moon yet, or we're being lied to concerning the current state of space exploration. Now, why am I talking about all this? Well, all of this is critical thinking. Now, for some time now, I've been thinking about the absurdity out there, using critical thinking, of this outright assault on the black community and the black people right now for refusing the jab. I thought about all the experiments that the government has conducted, the federal government, on the black people throughout the years, you know, from the Tuskegee experiments with syphilis to the radiation experiments, and then they even did experiments on prisoners, and, you know, there was about four black prisoners for every one white prisoner in our prison system. They were experimenting with Agent Orange, and I've been thinking, what's the irony here? I thought Black Lives Matter. And then this week, I stumbled on this clip from Billy Prempe. And this is very good. Now, let me tell you about Billy. Okay? Billy is a first-generation American, an Air Force veteran, a child of people from Guyana. They were immigrants. And he was born back in 1989 in Princeton, New Jersey, went to JFK High School, graduated in 2008, enlisted in the U.S. Air Force in 2009. He was stationed at Royal Air Force Midland Hall Base in England, and he specialized as an aerospace ground equipment journeyman. Now, he's known for speaking out and his ability to speak with eloquence, and he makes videos, and he actually ran for Congress in Jersey. Listen to Billy Prempa talking to the liberals, the white liberals, and telling them blacks won't be their vax guinea pigs. This is a 2 minute and 29 second clip, and this man has applied critical thinking.
Dear white liberals, 28% of black Americans aged 18 to 44 years old are vaccinated in New York, meaning the vaccine passports deny over 72% of the black community their services. Since you think voter ID is racist, you must surely think that vaccine passports are as well. But you don't. Instead, you want to demonize everyone who refuses the COVID-19 vaccine. So let me tell you exactly why the black community is the most resistant to this vaccine. Let's go back to a time when the government decided that the blacks would be used as guinea pigs without their knowledge. From 1932 to 1972, the government conducted the infamous Tuskegee experiment on black men in an attempt to understand the effects of syphilis. Participants were told that they were being treated for bad blood. We were lied to. From 1965 to 1966, the government conducted experiments on prisoners, the majority of them being black, to understand the effects of Agent Orange. Prisoners were told that this was simply dermatology research. We were lied to. From 1960 to 1971, the government conducted Cold War radiation experiments on poor black cancer patients in an attempt to gain an understanding on how much radiation the human body could take. Patients were told that this would help cure their cancer. Once again, we were lied to. The list of atrocities and deceit goes on. Yet, white liberals seem to think that they know what's best for us. The truth is, black Americans have authority over our own bodies, not you. We're tired of being controlled, manipulated, and lied to. The bottom line is this. We truly won't know the effects of this vaccine for at least a few years. After all that we've been through, we are allowed to be skeptical. So my question to you, white liberals, is why are you applauding forced vaccinations on those who don't trust it? On those who come from a lineage of trauma due to dark history? I thought Black Lives Matter.
Bravo. Bravo, Billy. You did it well. Folks, critical thinking, as I've explained, and as Billy Prempa demonstrated there, is crucial if we're going to expose the lies. So I encourage you, and like I said, the theme of this entire show is about the lies and how to counter the lies and what the Bible has to say about the lies. But right now, folks, buckle your seatbelts because it's time for Back to the Future. The segment where we take something old and bring it Back to the Future. Now, we're going back to August 1973. And we're going to look at a term that was coined back then known as the Stockholm Syndrome. Now, you may have heard of it. Perhaps you didn't. But the Stockholm Syndrome is a psychological response where a captive begins to identify closely with his or her captors, as well as their agenda and their demands. Now, I haven't read this anywhere. I'm throwing this out as my own thought, and I've shared it with Seth and a few of the others that we talk to regular. Sister Kathy, I may have talked to you about it. But the name, the Stockholm Syndrome, was derived from a botched bank robbery back in Stockholm, Sweden in August 1973 when four employees from this bank in Stockholm were held hostage in the vault for 6 days. Now, during the standoff by these bank robbers, some sort of bond developed between the captors and the captive. And one hostage, during a telephone call with the Swedish Prime Minister, stated that she was fully trusting her captors, but feared she'd die in a police assault in the building. So I started thinking about what's going on and the way people in general are just believing everything they see. And really think about it. We've been through lockdowns and social distancing and all this other craziness. In a sense, we've been captives, held captive by our captors, the bureaucrats. And we're responding in a very similar way to these hostages that were being held by these bank robbers in Stockholm, Sweden back in 1973. And they developed some sort of psychological response where they began to identify closely with their captors, believing them and trusting them more so than anybody that would share truth with them. And I think that's right now, and I think that's the frustration I face when I try to share these truths with friends, my family, and people that haven't been red-pilled. So then I'm thinking about this week. How can I tie this into this lie and the father of all lies, Lucifer himself? And then I forgot the name of the website. Let me see if I have it in my show notes here. Yeah, the Academy of Ideas. They published this clip, and it's a rather long clip. It's 12 minutes, folks, but I'm going to play the entire thing. And it's titled The Big Lie, How to Enslave the World. And what this creator of this excellent content does is he quotes famous people like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Vaclav Havel. These are people that lived through some of the tyrant states of the past, places like the Soviet Union and some of the satellite states of the Soviet Union. And he wove together in 12 minutes essentially what's happening here right now. So I'd like you to listen to this. These quotes are excellent. If you'd like any of these quotes that are found in this next clip, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get these quotes out to you. But we need to share this. We need to understand this. And this is how we're going to wake people up. So here's The Big Lie from the Academy of Ideas.
And the lie has, in fact, led us so far away from a normal society that you cannot even orient yourself any longer. In its dense, gray fog, not even one pillar can be seen. Lying has always been used for political purposes. Lies cover up corruption, past mistakes, and hidden motives, and they are an essential ingredient in political campaigning. Sometimes, however, political lies take on a much more sinister form. The lies become all-encompassing, embrace all aspects of life, and infect every corner of society. This occurrence is a sign that totalitarianism may be rising, for as the political philosopher Hannah Arendt noted, totalitarianism, at its essence, is an attempt at transforming reality into fiction. It is the attempt of corrupt and pathological state actors to impose a fictional account of the world onto the entire population. In Nazi Germany, it was the idea of a superior race and an unclean people that formed the big lie. In the Soviet Union, it was the belief that state communism could work and that all could be made equal. And from the big lie trickled down a stream of endless little lies. Referring to communist Russia, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, In our country, the lie has become not just a moral category, but a pillar of the state. Describing Czechoslovakia under Soviet rule, Václav Havel similarly explained, life in the system is so thoroughly permeated with hypocrisy and lies. Because the regime is captive to its own lies, it must falsify everything. It falsifies the past, it falsifies the present, and it falsifies the future. It falsifies statistics. When a political system rests upon a bed of lies, what can be done to turn the tide back towards truth and freedom? In this video, drawing from the insights of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Václav Havel, we are going to explore this question. The day before he was exiled from the Soviet Union, Alexander Solzhenitsyn published a short essay titled Live Not by Lies, and in it he wrote, "We are approaching the brink. Already a universal spiritual demise is upon us. A physical one is about to flare up and engulf us and our children, while we continue to smile sheepishly and babble. But what can we do to stop it? We haven't the strength. But we can do everything, even if we comfort and lie to ourselves that this is not so. It is not they who are guilty of everything, but we ourselves, only we." When a state turns totalitarian, the individuals who live in these societies are not merely its victims. All the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century rose to power amidst thunderous applause, as many citizens openly called for the brutal control that defines this form of rule. Without mass support and compliance, the minority in the ruling class would be but paper tigers. The responsibility for the oppression, suffering, and loss of life that comes in the wake of totalitarianism, therefore, cannot be placed exclusively on politicians and bureaucrats. A large portion of responsibility must be placed on the citizens who support this form of rule, or else do nothing to resist. Václav Havel explains in his book, The Power of the Powerless. There is obviously something in human beings which responds to this totalitarian system. Human beings are compelled to live within a lie, but they can be compelled to do so only because they are in fact capable of living in this way. Therefore, not only does the system alienate humanity, but at the same time, alienated humanity supports this system as its own involuntary master plan, as a degenerate image of its own degeneration, as a record of people's own failure as individuals. If the fuel for the growth of totalitarianism is weak and fearful individuals, then a cure is a personal revolution that takes place in hearts and minds and leads to an awakening of self-responsibility, courage, and strength. The best resistance to totalitarianism is simply to drive it out of our own souls, our own circumstances, our own land, to drive it out of contemporary humankind. Alexander Solzhenitsyn's writings played a major role in toppling the communist Soviet Empire, and he advised we engage in such a personal revolution by transforming our life in a way which targets the most vulnerable part of the totalitarian system, the lies upon which it is built. In Live Not by Lies, Solzhenitsyn explains, "And therein we find, neglected by us, the simplest, the most accessible key to our liberation, a personal non-participation in lies. Even if all is covered by lies, even if all is under their rule, let us resist in the smallest way. Let their rule hold, not through me." Václav Havel was a dissident in communist Czechoslovakia, and he later became president, and he echoed Solzhenitsyn's sentiment that the most effective key to liberation from totalitarian rule is to commit to a non-participation in lies. Havel called this commitment living within the truth. If the main pillar of the totalitarian system is living a lie, then it is not surprising that the fundamental threat to it is living the truth. This is why the truth must be suppressed more severely than anything else. To engage in a non-participation in lies, or in Havel's terminology, to live within the truth, is to stop parroting the lies of the state and to refrain from acting in ways which conform to state propaganda. It is to resolve to live as freely and authentically as possible, to boldly express our individuality and spontaneity. Spontaneity, with its incalculability, wrote Hannah Arendt, is the greatest of all obstacles to total domination over man. It is to follow our conscience and place morality above unjust laws, to fearlessly pursue personal and communal values, and to give voice to our thoughts undeterred by ridicule. To live within the truth is to act in ways which promote a cultural reawakening, thus serving as a counterforce to the totalitarian system's course of march towards cultural stagnation, suffering, and death. Our way must be, never knowingly support lies. In communist Czechoslovakia, the Velvet Revolution, or nonviolent fall of totalitarianism, depended not so much upon political reform, but upon the existence of growing numbers of individuals who were willing to live within the truth, even when things were at their worst. They could equally have been poets, painters, musicians, or simply ordinary citizens who were able to maintain their human dignity. One thing, however, seems clear. The attempt at political reform was not the cause of society's reawakening, but rather the final outcome of that reawakening. As an example of how living within the truth can revitalize a society, Havel recounts the story of a rock band, the Plastic People of the Universe. In communist Czechoslovakia, musicians were required to register with authorities and were banned from creating music deemed too provocative or threatening to the political system. The Plastic People of the Universe refused to toe the line, and following a concert in 1976, they were arrested, and the ensuing trial gained enormous public interest. The state media branded the band members as drug addicts, mentally ill, extremists, and traitors to the country. However, many of the citizens had grown tired of living within a lie, and they supported the young musicians. And as Havel notes, in many respects, the trial marked the beginning of the end of totalitarianism in Czechoslovakia. Havel writes, "The Plastic People of the Universe were unknown young people who wanted no more than to be able to live within the truth, to play the music they enjoyed, and to live freely in dignity and partnership. They had been given every opportunity to adapt to the status quo, to accept the principles of living within a lie, and thus to enjoy life undisturbed by the authorities. Yet they decided on a different course. In some ways, the trial was the final straw. People came to realize that not standing up for the freedom of others meant surrendering one's own freedom." Along with demonstrating the real-world impact that can result from the actions of ordinary individuals who live within the truth, that a young rock band sparked a movement that toppled the totalitarian system in Czechoslovakia unveils an important but underappreciated characteristic of this type of political system. Despite appearances, it is by its nature weak, brittle, and in need of constant infusions of fear and lies in order to prevent it from collapsing. This weakness is why totalitarian regimes constantly slander and persecute anyone, even harmless musicians, who engage in even a modest attempt to live within the truth. For truth is the primary enemy of totalitarianism, as it erodes the foundation of lies upon which it is built. Havel explains, "The crust presented by the life of lies is made of strange stuff. As long as it seals off hermetically the entire society, it appears to be made of stone. But the moment someone breaks through in one place, when one person cries out, 'The emperor is naked,' when a single person breaks the rules of the totalitarian game, thus exposing it as a game, everything suddenly appears in another light, and the whole crust seems then to be made of a tissue, on the point of tearing and disintegrating uncontrollably." The brittleness of the totalitarian system is also why it is so important for as many people as possible to stop being servants to state lies. For just as our failure as individuals fuels the totalitarian system, so too it is a renewed courage of individuals to live within the truth which weakens and eventually destroys it. Totalitarian systems condition their citizens to believe that the individual is powerless to effectuate social and political change. But history has repeatedly shown otherwise, and as Solzhenitsyn notes, "One man who stopped lying could bring down a tyranny." What we choose to say and how we decide to act influences not just the state of our character, but the state of society. And when living in the midst of totalitarian rule, the fundamental choice to make is whether we are going to stand on the side of truth and freedom, or on the side of lies and malevolent authority. For those who choose the latter, whether out of fear, apathy, or merely to take the path of least resistance, Solzhenitsyn had the following to say. Let him not brag of his progressive views, boast of his status as an academician or a recognized artist, a distinguished citizen or general. Let him say to himself plainly, I am cattle, I am a coward, I seek only warmth and to eat my fill.
So, folks, how do we apply this to today's freaky deaky news? Well, we already have. From the Kabuki Theater update on all the lies surrounding the Southwest Airlines stoppage this week, to the NBA players and their jab, to the money system, folks. As we heard in this last clip, truth is the enemy of tyranny. And as we heard from that one quote out of The Power of Powerlessness by Vaclav Havel, the emperor is naked when one single person can stand up and break the rules of the totalitarian game and expose it as a game it is. Everything suddenly appears in another light, and the whole crust seems to be made of tissue on the point of tearing and disintegrating uncontrollably. And that's what happens when people like my brother Alex out in Iowa stands up and says no to the face masks. That's what happens when the Southwest pilots stand up and say no. That's what old man Cruz did when he stood up in all of his profanity and said, we're walking off this job. You can take and shove your jab. Folks, truth is the enemy of tyranny. And when a single person stands on the side of truth and freedom, things will change. So you and me, each of us, have to decide if we're going to stand on the side of truth and freedom or on the side of lies and this malevolent authority. So, folks, big question is, which will you do? And I'm hoping that what I'm about to share with you now may help you make that decision for the side of truth and freedom. Today, what we're going to do is unmask four lies about God and pull away his veil of darkness that's covering and blinding the eyes of so many in this world. Now, these four lies that Satan makes up about our Almighty God are done in a very cunning way. They're done in a way to make us think that our God has negative attributes, which he doesn't. They're done in such a way to make us think skeptically about our God, which so many people do today. They're done in a way to make us think lightly about him. I mean, how many people call him the guy upstairs, the big man? That is disrespectful, folks. And then finally, Satan tries to make us become suspicious about our Almighty God. So let me ask you a couple of questions, folks. Are you self-sufficient? Are you independent? Do you resonate with the message I share with you each week on here? Are you a prepper? Are you striving to reach your potential? Well, great. But if you're doing it without God, that's bad. And that's what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of sin. So let's look at the truth about God as we unmask Satan's four big lies. Now, remember, Jesus said this about Satan, and I opened the show with this. In John 8:44, he said, ye are of the your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, is no truth in him. When he speaks, it's a lie, and he speaks his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So let me tell you a little about this fallen angel Lucifer, also known as Satan and the devil. He's the master liar, folks. His motive is murder. Jesus said he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and his method is the lie. He desires to bring death to the youth, and isn't that what's happening with this jab right now? And all the heart problems these kids are having? Did you hear about that student who was doing his Skype math class when he died after just receiving his second jab? So Satan desires to bring death to youth and its purity and happiness. He wants to see your physical and spiritual and eternal death. He does. He truly hates you, and he can't hurt God, so he comes after you. He's the master craftsman of lies, the chief liar above all other liars. And he has four huge lies about none other than God, and we find them all in Genesis chapter 3. And they're very clever lies. Folks, those are the best lies around. the ones that sound the most like the truth. And that's what we even see with the media right now. And that's why you have to apply critical thinking. Now, Satan tells us that the best and most diabolical lies, or he shows us that the best and most diabolical lies are the ones that sound the most like the truth, because they're able to cunningly draw people into believing. You know, think about a clock that's broken, doesn't move its hands. Twice a day, it's true. Once in the morning and once at night. And that's kind of like Satan's lies. So he lulls you in. The Bible warns us that Satan comes as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He lies about the biggest subject itself. And that subject is God Almighty. And why? Because he wants us to have the wrong concept about God. A.W. Tozier said, "No religion can rise higher than its concept of God." So Satan wants you and me to believe a wrong more than to do wrong. And that's because, as that old saying goes, the thought is the father of the deed. So if Lucifer can entice you and me into some stinking thing, he has us. And he uses fear. Remember, I told you false evidence about reality, folks. We did a show on that not too long ago. And Lucifer is the master at enticing people to adopt stinking thinking. Because once he does, he has you. And here's a scripture where all four of these spiritual flaws of Satan and his lie to humanity concerning God can be found. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field where the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God had said, You shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, like I said, this passage details four of Satan's spiritual flaws concerning our concept of who God is. And the first one is that Satan wants us to think negatively about God. Listen to what it said in verse 1. "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's not true. So immediately he introduced a negative thought about God. But the truth is, God isn't negative. God's positive, full of grace, love, kindness, and goodness. Praise the Lord. But Satan wanted even you and me to believe that God's severe. He's cruel. He's the cosmic killjoy. Bottom line, Satan wants you and me to think negatively about God. And today there are so many people in this world that are going to die and literally go to hell because they think negatively about God. Bottom line, they just simply will not surrender and come to God. In fact, the very thought of God terrifies them, so they're repelled by the thought of God rather than being attracted to the thought of God. And this stinking thinking comes from the father of lies himself, Satan. So Satan wants you and me to view God as the cosmic killjoy. But when the truth of God is actually revealed, and when we say yes to God, it's to our pleasure. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat." But what did Satan say? Satan asked Eve, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Isn't that what God said? You shouldn't eat any of these trees? No, no. So what did God actually say about that? He said it in verse 17 in Genesis 2. "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So there's one tree, not all the trees. That's how Satan lied. Other than that one tree, God made it all for Adam and Eve's benefit. So God isn't sitting up there throwing down these vengeful thunderbolts. That's not who God is. He simply gave us some laws. And those laws were given to protect us. You know, every time God says, thou shall not, God's saying, don't do this because I don't want you to get hurt. And every time God says, thou shall, what he's really saying is, do this and you'll help yourself to happiness, blessings, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God is all about. So don't let anybody ever get you in negatively about God. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. God said that, folks, not me. Psalm 84 verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. God said that too, folks, not me. So he's saying, if it'll make you happy, holy, wholesome, healthy, help yourself to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, listen to this. Listen to this. Charge them that are rich in this world that they may not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So have you ever thought that a Christian life, a walk with Jesus, was a life of misery? Well, the truth is the exact opposite. It's joy, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then secondly, Satan wants you and me to think skeptically about God. So Satan's not only introduced this negativism into humanity through his little discourse with Eve there in Genesis chapter 3. He also introduced skepticism, and we find that in verses 2 through 4. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, now pay attention here because she changes what God said. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. So what's going on here in this little dialogue? Well, Satan's introducing doubt. He wants Eve and you and me to think negatively and skeptically about God. And that's the battle waged today over the Word of God. Anyone who can cause skepticism over the Word concerning its authorship, its accuracy, its authority, its acceptability is doing the work of the devil. And we watched this series on Netflix. It's called Midnight Mass. In, I think, episode 3, the sheriff, who is a Muslim, gives this very eloquent discourse, which is based on lies that cast doubt on the Word of God. I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't matter what degree someone holds, what title he may have, what position he may hold, or what school he taught or teaches in, it makes no difference. It's the work of the devil if you go away from that man or that woman's discourse and think skeptically about God. Now, it's amazing how much authority we have when we stand in righteousness on the Word of God. And it's simply sad, I have no other word for it, when you see people in positions of authority denigrate the Word of God. And a prime example is Bart Ehrman. He's a PhD. He's the James A. Gray Distinguished Professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And I don't know if he still holds that position, but he did when I researched this years ago. And I've sat in on some of his courses, and I'm telling you, folks, this man who knows the Word of God undermines the gospel and the reliability of the scriptures in the minds and eyes and ears of all those people that hear his lectures. What he does is he stirs up this skepticism and he passes it off as teaching Christian studies. But I'm telling you, this man is not found faithful. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, that a man, so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, moreover, is required in stewards to first be found faithful. Now, there are six other sources of pseudo-authority that we're going to find in our world. And they're primarily focused in the universities and with the media and with all these bureaucrats. And they try to pass their authority off in place of the Word of God. And you'll hear it done in these six areas. Relativism. And these relativists, they say, well, the truth always changes. The truth isn't absolute. And then you've got the subjectivists, which say that you may have your truth, but I have mine. And they don't have to be the same thing. And then you have the empiricists. They're the folks who say the only truth is matter and matter in motion. or that which can be measured. And we talked about that in the National Academy of Sciences and how they discount anything that they cannot quantify. Then you have existentialism, which says truth is only truth if you can experience it. Really? Well, how do I experience 1 plus 1 equaling 2? How do I experience that truth? And folks, don't ever try to argue that 1 plus 1 is not 2. But how do you experience that? And then there are the rationalists. They're the ones that say all truth must be derived by reason. And we talked about that a little bit, I think it was last week. How do you arrive at love through reason? How do you arrive at the concept of beauty through reason, empathy, joy? How do you arrive at any of these through reason? And then finally, the pragmatists. They're the ones that don't care at all about truth. Their motto is, if it works, just do it. So in truth, all these are just a repackaging of Satan's old lie from the garden. And they all try to get you and me to think skeptically about God and his word. And then Satan continues to entice us by trying to encourage us to think lightly about God. In verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. So what he's basically saying, don't fear judgment. You know, in that same series that we were watching on Netflix, Midnight Mass, the one son of some of the residents of the fishing village, he came back as an atheist. And he basically explained what he thought happens after death as his brain stops functioning and he goes off into oblivion. And he believes there's no judgment. So he's basically not fearing God. But the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And God teaches that in both Proverbs 9:10 and Psalm 111, verse 10. So Satan's behind these ideas that we can sin. He's also behind the scheme afoot in our churches today that Jude warns us about. And in Jude chapter, well, in verse 4, he wrote, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, these Canaanites, these offspring of Canaan, they've been around since the murder that happened in Genesis chapter 4, where Cain slew Abel. You know, folks, law without penalty is only advice. They call the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Think about it. It's amazing that today we battle over whether or not we can bring the Ten Commandments into our schools and hang them on the walls. Yet we allow every vile and vain philosophy to spew from the mouths of these teachers and professors. Folks, if that's not irony, if that's not depravity, I don't know what it is. So Satan seduces us to think negatively, skeptically, and lightly about God. And what we ended up with today is a generation of people thinking that sins have no consequences. In fact, there are a lot of Christians out there to think God's too good to punish sin. But the truth is that God's literally too good not to punish sin. Folks, if God didn't punish sin, he wouldn't be holy, and he'd be toppled from his throne of holiness. God, the creator God, Jehovah Elohim, he is holy, holy. That's what Isaiah told us. And when God says something three times, you better believe it. So what do we get out of all this? Well, we get the loving good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we get. Now, finally, there's one lie that I want to wrap this up with, and that's that Satan wants you and me to be suspicious about God. And he says that in verses 4 and 5, where he said to the woman, ye shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of this tree, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what he said. Again, I didn't. God did. So what he did there is he planted suspicion in the mind of Eve. And he's saying, you know, Eve, God's holding out on you. He's cramping your style. He's not allowing you to reach your full potential. He doesn't want you to know what he knows. So here we see Satan telling Eve that she can't be all that she's able to be. She's not going to reach her full potential if she follows God. So he's basically saying, Eve, you need to be liberated. And here's Satan's fib on woman's lib. Satan's saying, how do you know that fruit's no good? You haven't tasted it. You haven't experienced it. All you have to go on is God's word. You'll never know unless you experiment and experience it for yourself. You know, there's that existentialism coming in there again. And that relativism and even some pragmatism. And today we see around the recreational drugs, the generators wanting for themselves, being dependent on their own. But the things that we can't figure it out on our own, we're all believing that we're independent on our own. They say, last leg over, they're doing one of those COVID patients in the ICUs. See how long you're independent. You depend upon the very air that God provided for us. And if you withhold, if you have that withheld from you for more than a minute or two, what happens? You die. So I'm telling you, this whole concept that we're independent and autonomous beings, it's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Our true condition is one of dependence. The truth is that we all are very dependent beings, and sooner or later we're going to grasp this truth, and the sooner we do, the better off we'll be, because we'll be feeding on the bread of life and we'll receive eternal life. So Satan told Eve that she was just a babe in the woods and she had to experience it all, and then she'd know for herself. And I'll tell you, folks, if you're interested in this whole concept, the second book in C.S. Lewis's space trilogy, Perelandra, that one is where you need to go, and you'll see it in such a creative way. So Satan tries to get us to believe these four lies about God. But the truth is that the deeper we dive into sin, the less we actually know about God and even sin itself. And that's what's known as the deceitfulness of sin, and why I exhort each and every one of you every week by wrapping up these messages with some biblical truths. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the lie that Satan wants you and me to believe and embrace is that we are God. Remember Shirley? Remember this one clip from her movie Out on a Limb?
I am God.
Well, you know what I say to that? Yeah, let me do that again. No, Shirley, you are not God. And you never will be trying to do it that way. But the spirit of adoption, also known as the Holy Spirit, we may partake in his divine nature. Folks, read it for yourself in Romans chapter 8 and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Yes, this is one of the mysteries of the ages, as Paul wrote to Colossians in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It's the promise of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. And had Lucifer's princes of this world known this truth, they would not have crucified our Lord of glory. Read it for yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. And do you know what that is? That is the mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Now, who was the first to say, I am God? Well, it wasn't Shirley MacLaine. It was none other than Lucifer himself, the fallen angel. And you could read this only in the King James, not even the New King James. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 13 read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, like I said, folks, the modern translation are desperately trying to decouple or deconstruct who Lucifer is. And this, folks, is a lie from Satan. And folks, I'm out of time, and I have more to do here. So maybe I'll pick this up next week. What I want to do, though, is just encourage you. In fact, I am going to pick this up next week. So I'm marking it right here. We're going to pick it up right here, okay? And we'll share this end of the message next week. And what it's going to do is show you how you can be an overcomer. And there are three things we need to do that. What I want to encourage you with right now is, in the words of Winston Churchill, as you face all of this, remember, you have a voice and you have the power. And as Winston Churchill said, never give in. Never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that spirit of adoption, which allows us to partake in the divine nature of God, that same spirit is the spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, and that same power lives in you and me. It gives us our life. It gives us our kingdom authority. It gives us all that is good, all that is gracious, all that is of God. So never forget that, folks, that same spirit, that same power. He lives in you and me. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.